And we want to welcome you back this weekend to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are getting ready to power down just a bit. We're going to take time for a book review, and in the spotlight is our very special guest, the wonderful Brian Cuban, who courageously has just released his new book and shares his personal triumph over body dysmorphic disorder and provides an intimate look at a very difficult journey. Without question, it is truly a must-read. We're delighted to welcome into our show for the very first time, Brian Cuban. Welcome aboard, Brian.
Hey, Alyssa, thanks for having me on.
Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much for joining us, because it takes a lot of courage to open up and share about the battle of BDD, eating disorders, whether it's addiction. It's a story. Your story is truly one of inspiration, and I know that I've never met you personally, but when I look at your resume, you're so accomplished as a successful attorney and an activist and a TV host. I just had to step back and wonder, how in the world could this have happened to you? Because this is something that you've been haunted with for over 30 years, Brian.
Yes, well, I mean, it started a long time ago, I'm 52 years old, so we're talking back, in my teens in the 70s, and it was, I was a very shy kid. I was very shy, very quiet, just genetically programmed to be that way, unlike, like Mark, who was outgoing, and, you knew at 12 years old he was going to be some kind of entrepreneur. That's the way it is. Some people are born type A, some people are born reserved and shy. And, and then on top of that, I had a very difficult relationship with my mom. There was a lot of fat shaming in the house, to me, personally. And, she called me a fat pig and, stuff like that. And that's the way her mom talked to her. So it kind of runs downhill. And back then, you didn't have all these resources. I mean, Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet. and you only had 3 channels of television. So you didn't have the resources for parents. There was no such thing as fat shaming, cyberbullying, and so it was tough on me. And when the fat shaming took place, I got depressed. I started gaining weight. I became a fairly heavy kid. By the time I was in junior high, I was going 260 to 270, and the there was bullying. The bullying started. The fat teasing. I was even physically assaulted, related to my weight, where some kids tore my pants off, pants that Mark had given me, like these gold pre-disco disco pants that I wore.
Yes.
All the time.
Mm.
And they were, and they were tight on me because I was a heavy kid, but I loved them because Mark had given them to me.
Right.
And I'd wear them to school, and people would make fun of them, and I didn't, and I'd like, whatever. And I had sort of a self-deprecating sense of humor. Yeah, they look terrible on me. But then one day I was walking home, and this is junior high, you'd call it middle school here, and I was with these kids. I was sort of, you're trying to gain acceptance, hanging around with them, even though, I wasn't part of the group. And they started making fun of the pants and tearing them off me. And they tore them off me completely and threw them in the street. I was pantsed like, nobody ever gets pantsed. And I had to walk a mile home in my underwear. I went out and grabbed the pants up and balled them up and tried to cover up my private parts and walked home. It was very traumatic.
Very traumatic, very devastating. Who did you reach out to, though, Brian? And
nobody.
Share?
There's no one to reach out to because, again, this is the 1970s. Your mom's talking to you in a certain way at home. And with your father, you don't want, you have a sense of safety and security you don't want to jeopardize. That sense, when you're a child and you're sleeping in your bedroom and your parents are in their room next door, the thought that nothing can touch you.
Right.
That you're safe. And if you tell your father these things going on with your mom, you're in a child's mind, you're going to get kicked out of the house.
Mm.
You're jeopardizing that sense of safety you have and that sense of nothing can touch you. So I didn't tell anyone.
We are visiting, going one-on-one with Brian Cuban, talking about his brand new book that's just been released, Shattered Image, My Triumph Over Body Dysmorphic Disorder. And obviously, on our program, Brian, we talk so much about sports. And it seems that eating disorders are really on the rise. Everyone seems to, high-achieving individuals, they're so preoccupied with body image. I think back at my time at Oklahoma, a lot of my girlfriends were gymnasts. And this is something we always discussed and talked a lot about. But with anorexia and bulimia, how has the reaction been with some of your friends? As far as, how do males react to this?
The reaction, for the most part, has been, supportive. I mean, you have people that are still stuck in the Stone Age. You have people with Neanderthal, stereotypical gender role type thoughts. I mean, for instance, one recent comment I got was when they said you were bulimic, when's your period? Mm. You know, you have stuff like that, and I get that, and that's fine, because that tells me that makes me even more determined to spread the word that it's not body image issues or just not females. You know, it's males too. But for the most part, it's been very supportive. Family's been supportive. People are very happy that I'm getting out there and letting people know that, you know, eating disorders are, you know, cut across all demographics.
Yes, and I'm sure that has been very cathartic for you to be able to share your story and just knowing that you're empowering, you're helping other people, because I know there's folks that you're coming across that, you know, they really can identify with your struggles and how you're equipping them. That's got to help you out.
Absolutely. The book started out, as most books like this do, it started out as a cathartic experience. I mean, you're self-healing, expressive writing. And then the more you get into it, the more you're like, you know, especially for me, from an eating disorder standpoint, the book covers, you know, addictions as well. But from the eating disorder standpoint, I was like, you know what? There's just no one talking about this from the male standpoint. And there's a lot of shame. And I know there are guys out there that have body image issues, eating disorder issues, that haven't told their family, haven't told their wives, are hiding it from their wives, from their parents, you know, if they're younger. And I want to let them know that, you know, it's okay to come forward. There's somebody you can trust out there. And there is an end game if you get treatment. You know, I want to be at least, you know, it's a day-to-day thing, recovery, but I want to show people that there is an end game and you can get better.
Well, I'm all about that as far as, you know, problem solving. So what was that first step for you? How did you come to the realization that things finally, you had to make a change in your life and you really had to get honest with yourself? And what was, Brian, what was that rock bottom moment for you?
The rock bottom for me were, you know, my aha moment was I was standing in the parking lot of a psychiatric facility here in Dallas for the second time. The first time was after a near-suicide attempt about a year before that. And this time was after a two-day drug and alcohol-induced blackout. And I'm standing in that parking lot, and my girlfriend's there, and she's crying, you know, and it was just a bad scene. And I'm thinking to myself that there wouldn't be a third trip there. I'd be dead. You know, the next time there would be no one to stop me from committing suicide. The first time my brothers really came in at the last second, I'd have been dead if they hadn't shown up.
Uh-huh.
And so I really came to the conclusion that if I didn't take charge, you know, that I would be dead. And even more than that, I realized that I was about to lose my family. Our father had raised us, Mark, myself, and my younger brother, to be very close. He had stressed all of our lives, brothers, you know, you hope it doesn't happen, but girlfriends come and go, wives come and go. He would tell us every
yeah,
day that when push comes to shove, when things are as bad as they can get, you know, all you can depend on are your brothers. You know, that's what you have, your blood.
Well, and there's a wonderful picture I was going to say, even in your book with, you know, you and your brother and your father, you know, at the 2011 when the Dallas Mavericks won the world championship. I thought that was great. And it really did just kind of support what you're talking about, that your father's always encouraged and has stressed the importance of that brotherhood.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, you know, family may love you unconditionally, mm-hmm. but there will be conditions and limits on their willingness to see you kill yourself.
Right.
Okay, if you're not going to help yourself. And I knew in my gut that I was reaching that point where family would start to distance. I mean, they have children, they have families. They don't want some drug addict, you know, who's not trying to get better around their kids. I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
And they never told me any of that. I just knew in my heart that was going to happen. And just the fact that I was such a disappointment to the people I love drove me the next day after that, after that day at that psychiatric facility, the next day I walked into my shrink, who I'd been seeing for a few years, and lined my ass, lined my butt off, and just lying, you know, hadn't told him about the suicide attempt, hadn't told him about the eating disorders, are you depressed or not depressed, you know, just not volunteering anything because I was ashamed, you know, of talking about those things, and I told him everything. I finally took the first step of recovery, which is getting honest. Getting honest about where I was and then getting honest about how I got there. Once I did that, I had the strength to finally tell my father. The day after that, I called my father. I said, I want to talk to you. I went over his house and I told him everything. I told him everything that I was afraid to tell him as an 11-year-old child. I was that 11-year-old boy at 45 telling my father all these things, and his response was, I love you, come stay with me, we'll get through this. The response that I wanted at 11 years old, but I was too afraid to ask for.
Wow. We are going up close and personal with Brian Cuban, and he's sharing about his brand new book, Shattered Image, My Triumph Over Body Dysmorphic Disorder. And Brian, I just want to share with you, you know, I'm the mother of two young sons, and my takeaway from this book, and you really reinforce that, is that, you know, we as parents, we have got to choose our words wisely, especially, you know, with young kids. I mean, they're so impressionable. They hang on to every word that we say, and it's just very important that we are encouraging, we are lifting our kids up. I often tell my boys that, you know, that you guys live in a false sense of reality. Not everybody's going to tell you how fabulous you are every day, but as parents, that we cannot be belittling our children.
Absolutely. And what I tell parents is, when you have these conversations with your children, are you talking to them based on your view of life or based on their view of life?
Very good. Mm-hmm.
You know, your father, and I've had this conversation with dad, your father, you know, a dad will say, you know, let's talk about bullying. My father taught me to punch them in the nose and fight, and that worked out great for me. That's what I'm going to teach my kids. And my response to that is, well, that's okay. Maybe your kid's of that personality type, you know? What if your child or your daughter is like me? Quiet. Doesn't want conflict. Does, you know, just wants acceptance. And you're telling them to try to do something they're not genetically programmed to do. Now, we all have to learn acceptable ways to stand up to bullies. Absolutely. But if you're teaching them an aggressive stance, and they're like me, and that they just... they understand what you're saying, but they just don't have that in them. And you can't force that on them. You know what's going to happen? They're never going to tell you a thing again.
That's right.
When these things happen, they're going to internalize it. Then they're going to have two levels of shame. The shame of not knowing how to respond in an acceptable manner based on their genetic makeup, and the shame of disappointing you as a parent. They're going to internalize that, and it's going to come out somewhere. You know, maybe they're of the personality type to get over that. Maybe it's going to come out in cutting. Maybe it's going to come out in eating disorders. Maybe it won't come out until they leave the house, like with me. You know, and then you're in an even worse position to do anything about it. So what do? I tell parents there is no shame in not knowing what to do. The only shame is not finding out what to do. There are all kinds of resources out there. If you don't understand how to have the right conversation and you're not sure, it's not a failure on the parent's part to not know. It's only a failure if you don't do anything, you know, to educate yourself.
Brian, I want to jump in here. You were talking about, as far as some of those first steps that you took to help yourself move forward. We talked about your rock bottom and really getting honest with yourself. When did forgiveness start taking place so that you could release some of this anger?
That's a process. Forgiveness is a process. A lot of it was dealing, you know, releasing the anger in therapy, a lot of therapy, tons of it, you know, getting back and instead of dealing with the symptoms, going back and dealing with that 11-year-old boy, you know, and talking, there was a lot of role-playing, talking to that 11-year-old boy in therapy and letting him know it's okay, it wasn't his fault, you know, and once you start releasing all that, then it's easier to forgive. And forgiveness isn't always, for me, forgiveness meant reconciliation with my mom. We have a great relationship. And coming to an understanding.
Wonderful.
You know, about what happened. Because she may not even have known, you know, what happened back then. You know, she was raised doing the way, she was parroting how she was raised. And so, I mean, forgiveness is a process. And forgiveness doesn't always mean reconciliation. Some people have had such terrible things done to them that they may not be able to do that. But I believe forgiveness in terms of releasing the emotion is an integral part of recovery. At least it was for me.
Brian Cuban is a successful attorney, an activist, a television host, and has just released his brand new book. It is a memoir, Shattered Image, My Triumph Over Body Dysmorphic Disorder. Brian, quickly tell all of our listeners at Yahoo Sports Radio where they can go and get a copy of your book.
Yes, it is available only online for now. You have Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And you can also link to either of those through my website at briancuban.com or just go straight to Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Now, Brian, I've got to ask you, weigh in on your Mavericks quickly. I know how you've got to be very excited about that. DeJuan Blair is on board because you're a Pit Boy.
That's right. I'm a Pit Law. So my allegiance is really more to Penn State since I was undergrad.
I know. Now, that's true, but you did grow up in Pittsburgh, correct?
But, yeah, but secondary allegiance is to Pitt, so I'm excited to see DeJuan there. I think the Mavs are going to have a good year.
Yes.
You know, like Mark always says in the NBA, you know, paper is one thing. You still got to play the game. Anything can happen.
Well, the Mavericks and also the Pirates doing so good are doing good too, right?
Very excited about the Pirates. I mean, you know, it's been a long wait. I mean, I'm a diehard Pirate fan. I was going to games back in the 80s when there were 1,000 people in the stadium. You know, just an absolute bleed black and gold diehard Pirates fan.
Well, Brian Cuban has been with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, the title of his book is Shattered Image, My Triumph Over Body Dysmorphic Disorder. And as Brian said, you can go online. One more time, Brian, tell all the listeners where they can go.
BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com.
Okay. I hope to see you at a Maverick game sometime in the future, okay?
Same here. Thank you for having me on, Alyssa.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want you to join us online at eradiosports.com and our Twitter at @eradiosports. We will be right back.